In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So again, welcome to St. Andrew's this morning, and I'd like to talk this morning about some things that I'm sure will be familiar to some of you. I talk about the Sabbath some. I want to talk a little bit about Isaiah. I want to talk about the troubles that Jesus ran into on the Sabbath. And then I want to say something about how we might enter into the Sabbath in a way that makes sense to us and actually helps us. So, the first, just a word to notice in Isaiah. He starts off, he says, if you stop pointing the finger and speaking evil of one another, if you stop blaming and accusing, and if you notice the people around you who are in need, and you begin to respond to them, then your light will rise in the darkness. It's not rocket science. If you stop doing the things that are obviously destructive and are hurtful, and you know that they violate your best understanding, if you stop doing that and start doing things that are helpful to other people and responsive to the world around you, things will get better. Whoa. But I mean, we sometimes make it more complex than it really needs to be. You know, if you do what is right, there's a good chance that you and a community of people will be established on a much firmer foundation. So I just point that out to you. Jesus and the Sabbath. You've heard me talk about Jesus and the Sabbath because over and over in all the Gospels, Jesus is always getting in trouble for doing something on the Sabbath that he shouldn't have. He's picking corn, he's eating food, he's healing a woman, he's doing things, and the religious leaders of his time, in ways that I think are still hard for us to appreciate, because I don't know what the equivalent of a Sabbath legislation would be, but it was strict, and you were expected to adhere to it. There were restrictions and permissions, and you were expected to comply, and Jesus didn't. And he was always being criticized for his laxity in respect to Sabbath observance. Now, where I think it may be familiar is, it's not in this text, it's another text of Sabbath controversy, where, again, Jesus is being criticized, and he responds by saying, man is not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man. Which is to say, the Sabbath is not a religious obligation that is laid upon people under threat of punishment. The Sabbath is something given to us as human beings to help us remember what we're likely to forget. And I extrapolate from this passage, and I say, what Jesus was talking about there is religion in general. That it's not just the Sabbath regulation that is made for us, but it's everything we do religiously. That what we do religiously is meant to help us remember. We teach, we symbolize, we ritualize. We try to help bring all of our attention to some of the most important things in our common experience. And then we go out the doors at the back of the church into the world, and that's where we live our lives for every hour of the week, save one. What we do here is meant always to support what we do in our daily lives. And I think religion always is at least tempted to usurp and say, we are the most important thing. What we do religiously is the most important thing. And as the prophets kept saying, and as Jesus kept saying, actually, you know, religion is helpful only if it's helpful. It's helpful if it actually leads to a life that is shaped by freedom and compassion and love. If it is, amen to that. If it's not, examine what you're doing religiously, because it's not working. If your lives are not really being changed, in however small the ways, but incrementally, you know, freedom is not growing, compassion is not growing, ask yourself what you're doing with your religion. So that's kind of Jesus and the Sabbath, and Jesus on religion generally. But what is the Sabbath? And is it a day? I mean, I remember well the days when everything was shut down on Sundays. You know, if you wanted to get a quart of milk, you couldn't get one because everything was closed. It was kind of interesting, and it was remarkable when that started to yield, and then finally just gave way until most things everywhere open all the time. Sabbath, probably not a day of literal rest. The insight into what the Sabbath might be was given to me many years ago in a book by a theologian, Harvey Cox. And he said, Sabbath is not so much a day of rest as it is a stanza of mind. And that we best understand that stanza of mind as very like contemplative prayer. And that the foundational act of the Sabbath mind is to let the world be just as it is. I mean, we spend a lot of time doing our business, as that's the phrase in Isaiah. You're serving your own interests, doing your business, having projects, the things that are on your mind that you're working at or worried about. They're just always there. But Sabbath is a kind of putting down of our business. And I mean, it's that kind of radical acceptance of the world just as it is, in all its imperfection, all that's wrong with it, all that's right with it, not even judging between them, just allowing the world to be just as it is. Which is also, of course, an extraordinarily helpful exercise in relating to oneself. Just that kind of acceptance, just as I am. And occasionally I make reference to that type of therapy called dialectical behavior therapy, DBT, which begins with, that's one leg of the paradox, which is its foundation. Total radical acceptance of the world and of yourself just as you are. And the realization that you've got to change. So it goes both ways, you know. So Sabbath, a letting of the world be, which is to say, again, that we all need to learn how to meditate. Because in a sense, we can't let the world be unless we have some freedom in relation to our own thoughts and our own mental processes. And one of the first things that almost anyone who has ever tried to meditate discovers is that our thoughts are just running all the time. They think, they just keep going. And to try to put them down is dauntingly difficult, even though it seems like it should be the simplest thing in the world. Anybody ever try to meditate where the exercise was counting your breaths? And count to 10. Sure. Where am I? Oh, what? And I'm lost because I've wandered off. I'm starting thinking about something. And Thomas Keating, in his talk about centering prayer, describes that process as sitting on the bank of a river and watching boats go by. And you jump on the boat, which is a thought that arises within you. You jump on the boat and you're thinking about it. And then you realize, oh, I'm not counting my breath anymore. I'm thinking about X. He says, don't worry about it. Just come back. And over time, those boats will start to thin out. And you'll see a thought. And you go, I'm thinking that. And then the boat will just sail on down the river. It's part of letting the world be. And it's not particularly easy. And yet it is a very... it's a really instructive practice, and it is the practice by which we begin to win for ourselves a little bit of freedom in how we respond to the world. Because meditation also, I mean, it's a wonderful practice in itself, but really it has practical application. When that person who, you know, hooks or pushes the button makes you reactive, when that person, maybe in your family, maybe at work, wherever it is, when that person says the thing they always say that makes that energy flare up inside you, well, if you've been meditating, one of the things you might be able to notice is, oh, there I'm flaring. I'm really aggravated. But how do I express that aggravation? Or do I just let it go? This person really aggravates me. How do I want to respond? And again, the inner discipline begins to create a little bit of space between the experience and the response. It enlarges the range of response that you have at your disposal. You get to do A, B, C, D, or E, instead of just, you hurt me, bang, I hurt you. Like that, right? Sabbath is not easy. The Sabbath mind is not easy to win from the almost ceaseless chatter that goes on inside us all the time. But actually, believe what people say, and believe what I say. I'm not a very disciplined meditator-prayer, but I do it some. And it actually is helpful. You actually can begin to notice how you're responding as you're responding, and you can choose what path to pursue. The teachings of Jesus, not meant to be religious obligations dumped upon us, they're always meant to help us claim for ourselves the freedom that is appropriately ours as human beings, so that we can begin actually to show compassion and love to each other. We can do what we aspire to do because we've actually learned some of the practices within our own hearts and minds that enable us to do it. Sabbath, not a religious obligation, but a core way of seeing ourselves and the world that begins in that deep acceptance, letting the world be just as it is. If we can't see that, how in the world can we possibly know what in ourselves or in the world asks change of us? Sabbath mind, take delight in it, as Isaiah says. Take delight in it. It's not an obligation. It's a gift.